satisfied in Jesus. And so Paul, after all of this stuff, right here at the end of Romans 11, breaks out with a worship song. He breaks out with a proclamation. He breaks out with a, only God is awesome. And so I want us to focus on that today. And that is him and his awesomeness. You cannot exhaust that. I'm going to read this for you. It's not going to be in its entirety right here, so I'm just going to read it really quick, and then we're going to unpack it over the course of however long I take. Romans 11, 33 through 36. Pastor John said that he was told by somebody, you talked as long as Aaron. And he goes, yeah, but he's going to have three verses next week, and he'll talk as long, if not longer. Boom. Romans 11, 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. We don't use that word. It's a crazy word. I had to look up some stuff while I was spending time just marinating over this, and there's a lot of different things. Inscrutable means past finding or beyond tracing. It cannot truly be comprehended. So his ways are way different than ours. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who's been his counselor? A little shout out to Isaiah 40:13. Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? Like God's like, oh man, I owe you. Job 41:11. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. If you don't dig making a big deal out of Jesus, heaven's going to be super lame for you. Following Jesus is going to feel like more chore than gift. But maybe today will help you. There's a paraphrase of the Bible by an Anglican minister and Bible translator, J.B. Phillips. And he said this, if God was small enough to figure out, he wouldn't be big enough to worship. Is there anybody, please don't raise your hand, because I don't want to mock you and I don't want other people to look at you and go, what are you doing? So I'm just going to ask you, do you feel like you've got God all figured out? I mean, there's some cool things that he's let us know about him. But there is no way to exhaust the depths and the riches of how awesome he is. No way. You think you know it? He's deeper. You think somebody else knows it? God's deeper. So let's go back. Romans 11, 33. We're going to unpack five attributes of God, and this is going to be beautiful, and we'll see how long it takes. Because then we've got three more verses after that. It was four verses, by the way, Pastor John, so don't come at me, bro. All right, anyways. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. These five attributes are riches, wisdom, knowledge, judgments, and ways. First, let's look at riches. And while we're getting ready to look at riches, let me ask you this. When you hear the word riches or rich, what comes to mind? Please be honest. First thing comes to mind, riches. Gold, money, abundance. I'm Robin Leach. I'm yelling and I don't know why. Yes, exactly. Absolutely. You're welcome. Some people are like, that's why I don't watch TV. It's way old. Lifestyle.
Being famous and
acting movies, entertainers, athletes, all that. Sure, absolutely.
I even think of food is really rich, it's almost overwhelming.
Yeah. Yes. It is, and it's so layered, and you see these little tiny portions that people spent $200 for, and you're like, come on, I've never had a bite of those, but I'm pretty sure those are pretty rich. So yes, fat is rich. I remember going to Haiti and they had made a suit for me because I had been there before. And when I come back, I'd lost a little bit of weight, like literally maybe 10 pounds. And the suit was big on me. It was like talking heads, same as it ever was, right? It was just huge. And they're like, oh, we thought you were way fatter than that. And I was like, okay, that's fair. But they said, actually, fat is like this honor in their culture. And it's that way in some of the cultures in Africa as well. And even in Asia, if you're fat, you're rich. There is that part of riches, for sure. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at that immediately. But we're going to also look at true riches, which God treasures. Just really quick, for anybody who loves good music and you're like, as soon as you say good, I've got a thought in my head, what do I think is good? And I'm not going to tell you that he's just a rapper, because he's not just a rapper. But there's this guy, Forrest Frank, and you've probably seen some of his stuff on all kinds of different things, TikTok, all this, but he's really fallen deeply head over heels in love with Jesus again in his life. His grandfather had a testimony at a Billy Graham crusade like 40 years ago, and there's this sweet, rich legacy. But he's got a song on his new album called Rich Man. I really encourage you to go listen to that. If that's the only one you listen to, you'll be all right, because he doesn't rap one time on there. Not even twice, not three times, not once. So you could enjoy that if that's what you were afraid I was going to give you. But he talks about riches. And being a rich man, and it has nothing to do with money. Okay, let's go to some riches and like what God has to say about the riches of the money and the things of this world. Let's go to Psalm 50, verse 10. First person to get there, stand up and read it, or if you need to read it on there, you can. Who's going to do it for me? Psalm 50, verse 10. Standing. Jeremy, go ahead, bro. Have you heard that one? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. What in the world does that mean? I know I'm a city boy and I lived out here for 17 years, but what does it mean? Hey, you're a veterinarian. What does this mean, bro? A lot of money. Is there still money in cattle? Back to the rich food, right? Yes. He's saying, I got it. I mean, if you go into all of Psalm 50, it's even deeper than this, but this encapsulates it very nicely. Every beast of the forest is mine. He owns it all. All the riches are his. Let's go to Revelation 21, 18 through 25. I'll read this one because it's prolonged, and I don't think it's really kind for me to make somebody read all of it. I don't know about making anybody. You stood up, Jeremy. I couldn't make you do anything. Not only because you're big, but I just wouldn't even try. Listen to this. Listen to the riches of this world and what they're used for in glory, in heaven, in New Jerusalem. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst, which always sounds like a thaler went to thee, like you got a little lisp there. Amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. You've heard the pearly gates? This is where it comes from. They were made of a single pearl. Woo, that's big. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Can you stop with me for a second? Anybody build a home, a carport, a car? Have you constructed anything with your hands? Some of you. Could you imagine building with gold? Could you imagine building with priceless gems? A gate, just one gate, made out of one pearl. Nobody's seen a pearl that big. God's got 12 of them. I don't know if you noticed what we just read, but this is all construction material. This is not the treasure of heaven. This is what people walk on. And it's gorgeous. And it's clear. All of it. I can't even put my mind around gold that is so beautiful and pure that it's clear like glass. I've shined up my wedding ring, which was a gift so many years ago. I'm going to see if I can take it off because I've swollen sugar. But go like this, just even on your pants for a second, and it's kind of shiny, and I can see my friends over there. Hi. That's not as clear as glass. This is how gorgeous these precious materials are, and they are just materials. God has all the riches. And then it goes on. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, who is Jesus. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Whoo! So all this clear, gorgeous, colorful stuff has got the greatest light ever beaming on it. Have you ever seen those little crystals that are dangly and hanging and they get some sunlight or they get light and then they just kind of cast this rainbow of colors all over the room or your forehead or whatever? Just put your mind for a second that this is how awesome heaven is. And it's God that lights it up. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. Well, how do we sleep? I don't think we need to. But that's just the riches. That's just stuff. You know what it reminded me of this morning? I was just rereading this. I was being reacclimated to my message because God put this on my heart before I went on vacation and next week's too, and I tried to be ahead a little bit. I was thinking of when in Little Mermaid, they're in this deep cavern in the sea, and she's singing her song. She goes, "You want thingamabobs? I've got 20. You want stuff?" God uses stuff and he saves people. He treasured you so much that he gave his son for you. We don't need thingamabobs. We need Jesus. So that's just stuff that's riches. Philippians 4:19, would one of you amazing saints jump up and read that? I'm going to turn to it. It's going to be up on your screen. You should be able to beat me to it because I'm not looking at the screen yet. But Philippians 4:19, who would read that for us? Oh, man, Jeremy, the Bible answer man. I appreciate it. All right, get it. How many needs? According to what? His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's a very rich statement. Everything you need, mind, body, heart, soul, God's got and will take care of you through his son Jesus. Okay, we're going to Ephesians 1:7. Jeremy, stay where you are. I love you. Somebody else, don't let him be a Bible hog. Let's go. I love it. Eager for the word. Who's got it? Please stand up and read it. Anybody up there? Zach, you're standing. Go for it, bro. Ephesians 1:7. Thanks.
In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace.
Amen. Nice job. Thank you. Check it out. These are the kind of riches that just last forever, and you don't walk on them. You get to celebrate by them. You get to walk because of them. You get to celebrate. You get to dance. This guy breaks out in this great book in Romans with this great verse about how awesome God is and how deep are his riches. Not just stuff, but grace and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. The depth of his riches are significant. Try this week to write down some of the depths of his riches that you've experienced in your life. Okay, we're going to move on to the depth of wisdom and knowledge. Before we get to Deuteronomy 29:29, I want to ask you, what's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? We've got some teachers in the room. We've got moms and dads that teach. We've got, okay, wait, is that Isaiah up there? Hit me up, bro. What's the difference? Hallelujah. For those of you who are online who didn't get that, knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in fruit salad. Beautiful. Knowledge is accumulating, accruing information. Wisdom is applying it, putting it to work. That's true. There's a lot of really, really stupid, smart people. Wow. Don't say anybody's name, okay? We're going to go to Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Knowledge. Wisdom. Knowledge is knowing something. Wisdom is doing something with it, right? And we know that it's something that honors God forever. The secret things, he hasn't given us everything, but he's given us a lot of things. And what he's given to us is forever. So Proverbs 9:10 is where we're going to go. And this is just like the tip of the iceberg, you guys, on knowledge and wisdom stuff. But it's Proverbs 9:10. And who's new that hasn't? Yeah, all right, Benjamin, yes.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
I heard a story once where this kid showed up with his parents at a great feast at some friends from church. Their friends had a German shepherd that was really, really big. And this little boy was 7, and he looked eye to eye standing with this German shepherd. And the German shepherd was super sweet. Just licked his face, and the little boys are just hugging on him, and they're like, yeah, go for it. Well, mom and dad had forgot something in the car, and they said to the little boy, hey, will you go grab whatever it is that we left? And the little boy starts running. The German shepherd is no longer so sweet and loving. He came after the little boy and stayed right at his heels, growling. And that freaked out the little boy. And he stopped. And the owners of the German shepherd said, oh, no, he's super sweet and he's super kind, but you should probably walk. He doesn't like it when people run away from him. If you need me to paint all the pictures, I can't do all of it, but I will say this. When you and I fear the Lord more than we fear anything else, and we are in awe of him and we want him, it's hugging his neck and it's being in his presence. We're not running from him. You run from him, he loves you so much, he's going to let you know that's a bad choice. And he will, with the depths of the knowledge and wisdom of God, come after you in ways that just are so shocking. I have not a ton of time to tell all the stories that come to my mind, but there was a story of a man who was a farmer, and I know you've heard this before, so I'll get right to it. This farmer was in Minnesota, so much snow, so much nastiness for so long in the year. But he's doing his job, and he's getting all these animals fed, and he's just preparing for all the things that are coming up when it's time to sow. And he goes inside after a long day of work, and it's dark there early because it's the winter. It's about 4 o'clock, and he's sitting down, and he's just going to just have a cup of tea, and then he's going to get ready for dinner and all the things that he's going to do. And he starts hearing this thumping on the barn door. And he looks outside his kitchen window to his barn, and he sees these birds hitting the door, trying to get inside because it's freezing cold outside. Now, I thought they were supposed to go south or whatever. I don't understand all of that, but the birds were still around, and they're thumping on the door. And he's like, oh, okay. And he gets his stuff back on, and he goes out, and he opens the barn doors for him. And then he goes away because they immediately scattered when he showed up. And so he goes back into the house, waits, and he watches these birds get right up to the edge of the door and look in and not go in. And he's like, come on, I'm trying to help you. I can't let these other animals freeze. I'm trying to help you. And he realizes, I can't keep the door open. And so he opens the door and some fly away. And when he gets closer, they all fly away. And begrudgingly, he locks the door again, shuts the door, and goes into his house. And he sits there finishing his tea, and he sees the same thing happen again. And he's like, oh, if I could just become a bird, I could explain to them where salvation is. And at that point, this man, who was fairly agnostic, came to understand at least a little bit more than he ever did before, that God so loved the world that he gave his son. That his son became one of us so he could show us a way without freaking us out. You guys, there's no limit to the depths of the knowledge and wisdom of God. And he's coming for you. And pray for your family that is lost, and your friends that are lost, and your neighbors that are lost, and the people in France that, not all of them, but a lot of them are lost. Pray for them. Okay, judgments. I have a lot to say about this, but I've already talked quite a bit about it, so you can go back and check out He Will Separate. That was a series that we did last year. You can check more out on that, but I'm going to go to Exodus 33:19, which is something that we looked at with regards to God and his choosing, God and his salvation, God and his judgments. So Exodus 33:19. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. He's talking to Moses. And will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, Yahweh. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. I'm going to say this about judgments, and we've talked about this quite a bit. Are you judging God? Are you judging God, and you're saying, well, I don't deserve to be saved, or they don't deserve to be saved? And Pastor John really unpacked this a great deal last week, when we look at some people and go, how dare they? And then I'm like, how dare us? Who saved us? Was it me? Was it you? Was it your money? Was it your accomplishments? Was it your deep knowledge or your superlative wisdom? It's God. And he says, I'm going to show mercy to who I'm going to show mercy. I'm the one who's the judge. Would you let him judge? Would you point people to him? Would you point people to the fact that they are either going to receive him as Savior and Redeemer, or they will face him as judge? There comes a point, and I heard this in a podcast recently, where you can call people into a conversation or you call them out of a conversation. And to call people out of a conversation is just being really judgmental rather than, hey, could you explain that to me a little bit more? Could you help me understand where you're coming from? Because you said some things about the Bible, and I just actually had never really quite heard it like that before. Can you explain that to me? And in that, hopefully, they'll ask you to explain. And there will come a point where there's a call out in a conversation. But don't let it be in the beginning of it. On Sunday, after we had our service in the park, a lesbian married couple came and talked to me. Because for the first time in a long time in their lives, they didn't hear condemnation like they thought they were going to. They had a lot of questions, and they felt like there was borderline condemnation and all that. But we had what's called a conversation. I asked some questions. I didn't go, well, let me just tell you something really quick about your flag. It represents something to me that's way more important than your LGBTQ community. I didn't go off on them. I didn't excuse anything. They didn't really ask me. There was a couple of times where we had some spots where I was like, yeah, I've heard that. Do you know that there's another way to look at that? And they're like, well, and we talked. And the door's open for further conversations. You guys, I'm not great at that. I've struggled with this in my own family. I've struggled with this in this room. But God's the judge. And his judgments are deeper than we could ever know. He's made some things super clear, like we just read in Deuteronomy 29:29. And some things we don't fully know. He's not saying, hey, just do whatever you want. I just want you to be happy. But can we walk with people before booming them, thumping them? Can we listen to them? Can we share with them? Can we let them share with us? Can we actually look to learn? Not stuff that's going to make us not honor God. Well, I started this whole thing out. And Mindy, if you don't mind, will you bring us back to the very first holy, holy? I might have jumped over this for a second, but let's put it back on the screen and you guys can look at it and see what it says. Maybe. Sorry, it's way up there and I've still got more to go. I got plenty of time. Holy, holy. I'm not asking you to not be holy. God says, I am holy, therefore you be holy. Then he doesn't say, good luck. He gives you, wait for it, his Holy Spirit in you to allow you to do and say some things that you couldn't do and say on your own. Should you study? Of course. Should you prepare? Yes. Hebrews 12:2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher. Let's point people to Jesus. He's terrifyingly holy and super loving. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Okay. We're going to go, thank you so much. We're going to go back to his ways. And there's just so many different verses. I love John 14:6. Does anybody know that one off the top of their head? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, Jesus says, except through me. Very exclusive. And also inclusive. Anybody wants to believe him and come to him, he is the way. But I think the one that really stands out to me the most is Isaiah 55:8-9. You've heard this, you've probably quoted it a million times. Maybe you've got like a really cool pillow that has this stitched on it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. You know what I've heard in a lot of conversations and I've said in a few conversations in my lifetime? I wouldn't do it like that. There's some things that God calls us to proclaim and calls us to live and calls us to do that we're just like, oh gosh, that's hard. It's okay. His ways are different. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. His riches, his wisdom, his knowledge, his judgments, his ways are deep. And they are different. And you're going to learn more and more about him. And don't let knowledge puff you up. Let love build you up. And you can live out this wisdom, this knowledge, this acknowledgement of his judgments and his ways. Let's go back to Romans 11. We got a few more things to talk about, and then we've got time to go. And anybody who's looking at the clock, know this, God's in charge of time as well. Not me, God. If you need to leave, you can. Jesus loves you. And I'll try real hard. No, I'm just kidding. Romans 11, 35. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? It's all about Jesus. It's not you, it's not me, it's not church, it's not pastors, it's not money, it's not anything. You and I cannot outgive God. Ever. Job, which we went through a little while ago with the men, is really, really, it's like mine and my dear friend Alan, we love the book of Job, and it is poemic, it's beautiful, it's scary, it's like, what in the world? But after all the things happened to Job, and if you don't know it, go look it up, he loses everything, and I mean this respectfully, but his nagging wife. And she's like, why don't you just curse God and die? And he's just like, man, why don't you shut your mouth? He doesn't say any of that, right? Not at all. He's like, do we just take good from God only or the bad only? I'll praise him, even if he slays me. And then he does pretty well for a while, and then he blows it by saying, I just wish I was never alive, and God, why? And all the things that we're allowed to ask God, but he kind of parks there for a while, and his buddies come and try to explain things to him. After 7 days of Shiva, of just spending time grieving with him, then they, could I venture a word? And they should have kept their mouths shut. And yet, some of what they said was true, and a lot of it wasn't. And finally, God comes down and is like, all y'all just shut your mouths. I got something to tell you. And this is part of what he tells them. Job 38, 1 through 4. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. You've got a tornado. You've got a cyclone going on. And God's speaking out of that. Come on. That's power. That's awesomeness. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action or gird your loins like a man. I will question you. And you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. And then he just goes on. Where did the sun come from? Where does the wind come from? How about the lightning? How about the snow? He's like, dude, what do you know about all this? It's like a reality check for Job. It's all about Jesus. The end of Romans 11 has this beautiful, I feel like it might be one of the coolest poems I've ever read. Verse 36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. We find something that sounds very, very similar to this in 1 Corinthians. And I want to ask you to allow me to read just a couple of verses that sound a whole lot like what we just read, but they're just a little bit different. And see if you can find the differences. And I'm going to get to it, and then we're going to finish up with one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 8, 5 and 6. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us, there's one God, the Father from whom are all things and for whom we exist. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. He is saying God and Jesus are the same people. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let me remind you of these four words. Only God is awesome. As you're able, will you stand with me as we finish this message? Back to the back of the book again. Revelation 4, 1 through 11. You sang it today. Now you can listen to it on the way out. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I'll show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Thank you, Jesus, I love green. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. God doesn't have seven spirits. It's a perfect spirit. And before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind, weird. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature was the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. All these are representative of power in our place. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, still weird, amazing, crazy, all-knowing. And day and night, they never ceased to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders don't go, yeah, we heard this one before. Nope. They fall down every time before him who's seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. He is truly what our souls long for. And you and I are only satisfied in him. We are made to worship him. Anything or anyone else ain't gonna work. So how do you move towards Jesus today? You worship him. He's the pearl of great price. He's the treasure. He's the giver of great things. So come to him. Submit to him. Surrender your life to him over and over again. Proclaim his awesomeness. Quit calling pizza awesome. I got these shoes, and they're like a dream for me because they're like St. Patrick's Day shoes. And they've got clovers on them, and my first grandchild's name is Clover. She's amazing. They're green, which is my favorite. These shoes aren't awesome, but they're pretty cool. Don't call shoes awesome. Don't call your wife awesome. Only God is awesome. Proclaim his awesomeness. Be satisfied in him. Trust that he's got enough for you. You put people in his place, repent of that. You put things in his place, repent of that. You put fear, your past, the things that have been done to you are taking your eyes off of Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Oh God, I don't know how to make any clearer that you're awesome, but I look forward to trying the rest of my life and forever. I pray for my dear brothers and sisters that know you and follow you, that they would be strong and courageous and let it be contagious, that they would stand strong in their faith, that they would proclaim your goodness even to people who think you are a fairy tale or that you're not very good or whatever other things people think. And I pray for those that are in this room that have lost their way, that they've actually judged you and said, you can't reach me. I tried. I have too many strongholds. Would you shadow those strongholds, Jesus, and replace them with you? Would you blow away like chaff the iron and the clay and the gold and the silver and the bronze that people so quickly worship? Would you forgive us for that, and would you replace all of that with the rock that is you, Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords? I pray this in your precious name. Amen.